Hello and welcome to our service for Sunday the 16th of August. I hope you're getting used to your mask wearing, or if you're like us in our household, remembering to actually have it with you once you leave the house, particularly if you're going for a walk or something like that. It's great you can join us for these services. Let me start with 2 Corinthians 13:13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Today, instead of a passage from Revelation to remind us of God's glory, I've got one from Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honour and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a great encouragement of the victory we have through Jesus. Would you please join me in our thanksgiving? Gracious God, we humbly thank you for life and health and safety, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our sentence of scripture for today is from Isaiah 56:1. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And our prayer of the day. God of freedom, you have broken the tyranny of sin and sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may know the glorious liberty of the children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let me pray before we hear from God's word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word. May your Holy Spirit lead us into your truth, so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we're blessed to have Robin Keith come and lead us in our readings. Thank you, Robin.
Good morning. Welcome to our service today. I'm going to read the scripture readings, and I'm going to start with the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you, a remnant on the earth, and to keep you alive for many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made him me lord over all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And I will provide for you there, since there were 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all you have will have not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it's my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly honoured I am in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And while Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from Psalms chapter 133. Behold, how good and lovely it is when families live together in unity. It is as fragrant as oil upon the head that runs down over the beard, fragrant as the oil upon the beard of Aaron that runs down over the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon, like the dew that falls upon the hill of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded his blessing, which is life forevermore. And from Romans chapter 11, verses 13 to 33. Now I'm speaking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I glorify in my ministry, in order to make my own people jealous, thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from death? If the part of the dough offered as the first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, then the branches are holy. But if I take some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted into that place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. This is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud or stand in awe, for it is God did not, for God, if God did not spare the natural branch, perhaps he will not spare you. Note the kindness and severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen. But God's kindness towards you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. Even those in Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in. For if you have been cut off from what was by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? So that you may not claim to be wiser than you are, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this mystery. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. Out of Zion will come the deliverer. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. As regards to election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience. So they have been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive full mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that they may be merciful to all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For those for whom he has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Robin, for those readings. And our gospel for today is from Matthew 15, verses 10 to 28. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know the Pharisees took offence when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, they are blind guides of the blind, and if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's an interesting gospel for us, isn't it? But actually, our main readings today, I think, have a common theme, and that's really about outsiders and whether you're accepted, whether you belong. We start off with Joseph. He's in Egypt, as we've had in the last couple of weeks, sold into slavery by his brothers, faced all sorts of trials there, but God was with him throughout the difficulties. In chapter 41, long before our passage for today, Pharaoh had dreams and Joseph was the one who was able to interpret. But in verse 16, Joseph said, "It is beyond my power to do this," Joseph replied, "but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease." As a result, Joseph was put in charge of all of Egypt at age 30, after 13 years in Egypt. So it's been a long time, much longer than we've coped with COVID-19. And Joseph is still actually an outsider as far as the Egyptians are concerned, but he's been tested by them, if you like, and is found to be faithful to God. Before today's reading, chapter 44, we also had Joseph's brothers coming for grain as the famine has spread throughout the world, the world in that area at least. And Joseph tests his brothers. He wants to see whether they're the same men they were when they sold him into slavery. You might remember he places the silver cup in Benjamin's sack, and Benjamin being his only full brother, and Judah pledges to care for Benjamin. And he demonstrates that the brothers have changed. So there's that testing to see what they're like now. And today we've got the big reveal. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But before we get on to the reunification of them, we have many passages there when the Egyptians ate with Joseph. They actually sat at a separate table because Egyptians despised the Hebrews and refused to eat with them. That's in Genesis 43. Verse 32. But now, through Joseph, through God using him, Joseph, his father, and all his family are welcomed into Egypt. Outsiders now welcomed into Egypt. Joseph was tested, and now the whole family is welcome in the midst of the famine. 2 years of famine down, five more to go, but God has used the circumstances, tested all of the family. They were in a mess beforehand with all their favoritism and lies and deceit. And now they're in safety in Egypt for this five more years of famine ahead. So the outsiders were welcomed in. Welcomed into the provision through God, giving that dream to Pharaoh about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, and Joseph being God's instrument. Now, Romans is a really difficult reading just to read, as Robin could attest. But have a try yourself. Sit down with some sort of recorder and try and read through it. It's all over the place. But there is this whole thing of, well, Paul's great desire is for his own people. And his own people are the Jewish people. But God has actually sent him to outsiders, to the Gentiles, like me. And Paul reminds us that we're grafted in. The unfruitful branches were pruned off, and we were grafted in their place. He's saying that outsiders have been welcomed. Verse 20, you stand only by faith. Keep your faith, have it transform you. You are supported by the root to grow and produce fruit. Do not be boastful, verse 18, stand in awe at God's mercy shown to you. Be thankful and follow God. So again, be grateful for God who has welcomed us, who were outsiders, into his family. Paul still has that desire that his own people will also come to faith. And then in Matthew, we have that little bit about not washing your hands. I don't think that fits to our situation. That was about ritual cleansing as part of their faith observance. So still wash your hands before you eat. But it's really the last little bit I want to focus on, which is verse 21 onwards. Because again, we've got an outsider, a very obvious outsider, asking questions. This Canaanite woman. You might remember from your Old Testament, the Canaanite, Old Testament association with the pagan inhabitants of the the land that was now Palestine, those who were displaced by the Jews as they entered the promised land. So certainly outsiders. She does not belong. But she is actually convinced that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and that he can heal her daughter. So we start off with the negative response from Jesus. And perhaps this is to help teach the disciples, yes, he came for God's people, the Jews, but also for all the nations of the earth. If you think back to Genesis 12:3, Abraham was blessed to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. That is, Jews and Gentiles. And the Gentiles include the Canaanites. Now, this is something quite hard for the Jewish people to take at the time. And Jesus is really demonstrating to his disciples this woman's faith compared to their own lack of faith. We get on to the comments about the dogs, and that might really offend us. The dogs do have the right to be fed, even if it's just the scraps left over. Jesus, as the Messiah of Israel, the son of David, verse 22, must indeed first go to his own people. But that does not mean that his mission must stop there. Her reply, whether she knows it or not, demonstrates that God chose Abraham, and therefore the whole nation of Israel and Jesus the Messiah, not for their own benefit alone, but to be a means of a blessing to all nations, a light to the Gentiles. This is Jesus' mission, both to this woman and to us. There may well be a whole lot of cultural things also mixed up in their encounter, which perhaps are a little hard for us to comprehend. But she is commended for her faith. The disciples have just been reprimanded for their lack of faith. In Matthew 14:31, Jesus has just calmed the storm. From earlier in Matthew 8:11-12, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The central thing in this story is the faith of this Gentile woman who shows up many an Israelite for their lack of faith. The faith of one who everyone considers to be an outsider, an intruder. You know, the disciples are saying, send her away. Results in the miraculous deed of Jesus. And in this instant, the healing from a distance, the casting out of the evil spirit. Perhaps this is a great indication for us of Jesus' full acceptance of her and her faith in him as the one who can deliver her daughter. This is a lesson for us because we're outsiders. We don't belong. We're not good enough. And this morning, or whenever you're watching, we are accepted by God through faith. The faith demonstrated by this Canaanite woman. If you're familiar with the prayer book, perhaps the Second Order Holy Communion service, you might remember the prayer of approach. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. So as we approach God, whether it's in church or at home listening to something like this, or wherever we may be. We're outsiders who have been welcomed in. As Paul would say, we've been grafted in, and it's the root that supports us. We've been accepted by God through Jesus dying on the cross for us. Who do you know that's an outsider? Is the gospel for them? This can be quite confronting for us. Is the gospel for them? Who's the people you struggle with? Is the gospel, the good news, for them as well? Well, go back and have a look at the passage. It seemed like harsh words to this lady, but Jesus was testing her. And she showed, through that testing, to have greater faith than the disciples had just shown themselves. So remember that we were outsiders, those who did not belong. And Jesus asks us to love those others who are outsiders. Help them to belong and to be loved the way God loves us. This is at Genesis 12:3. Blessed to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Blessed to be a blessing to all people. That's how God wants us to live. We'll struggle at times, but keep our eyes on what God wants us to be doing. Support one another as we struggle, and live our lives in God's service. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the affirmation of faith. We believe in one God who made and loves all that is. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was born, lived, died and rose again and is coming to call all to account. We believe in the Holy Spirit who calls, equips and sends out God's people and brings all things to their true end. This is our faith. The faith of the Church. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come to our time of confession of sin, we read from Hebrews 4:16. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As we approach our time of confession, you might pause for a moment and think, who do I treat as an outsider? Who do I not want around? And is the gospel for them? Pray that God might change our hearts where they need to be changed. Let us join together in our confession. Let us now confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have broken your holy laws and have left undone what we ought to have done. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sin. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us join together in a time of prayer, and I invite you to perhaps even pause at different times and join in some prayers of your own. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the world that you love. Be with all those who are suffering as outsiders at the moment. Whether they're outsiders because of COVID in some situation, whether they've been infected or close contacts or under quarantine, help us to share your good news with them, albeit through distance or whatever other means. We pray for all those struggling with job loss or uncertainty, struggling with restrictions, the changes, or the wait ahead, not knowing when things will return to normal as we've understood it. Be with those still struggling in Beirut. Be with all our emergency services and military personnel seeking to enforce the lockdown that we have here in Victoria for the common good. We pray too again for our leaders. We pray for Scott Morrison, his leadership at a national level, and for Daniel Andrews as he leads in Victoria. We pray that you would uphold him with your love, particularly as he comes under such scrutiny at the moment. Be too with those in opposition and the rest of the Parliament, that while a different voice and other accountability is needed, we pray that that would be done with humility and compassion, that as a whole government, they may serve the good of all people, not their own interests. We pray for all people, that we may think of the welfare of others more than our own wants and needs. We pray for your church. We give thanks for Bishop Matt and his leadership of our diocese and for all the registry staff. We pray too for Bishop Matt's family and their time together as he's under so much pressure with decisions. We pray for all clergy as we adapt to these situations and for all in congregations. We mourn that we are not able to gather together, but we give thanks to you that as outsiders you have welcomed us all in and that we have unity through the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would grow our faith and relationship with you through these times. As you tested the Canaanite woman, as you tested Joseph, as we feel we are being tested, may our faith rise. May you grow us, draw us closer to yourself, that we may be people who can also welcome outsiders. We pray for the mission of your church at this time. We pray for people who can connect with church in a way that hasn't been possible before, that they might hear from your words, perhaps from the safety of distance, being anonymous, but your Holy Spirit would work in their lives. And so we pray for our families and friends, and particularly those who don't know you, that they may be drawn into closer relationship with you. We pray too for our families and friends, and we give thanks for your great love for them that is more than ours can ever be. And we know too that you know the longings of their hearts and their pains of the past. And we pray that you would be present with them each day of their lives, drawing them closer to faith in you for themselves. We pray too for all those who are sick, whether it's COVID-related or other things. We pray for those facing surgery. We pray for those who are afraid. We pray for those who are struggling. We pray that you would give them your strength, comfort, and peace. For those in pain, we pray that you would provide them relief. For those who are tired and weary, that you would give them rest. for those struggling with addiction, that you would give freedom. And if it be in your will, restore them to health and fill their lives with your joy. Stir our faith that when we are weighed down by doubts and fears and the unknown and the troubles we face, that we may know deep in our hearts the truth of your love, that we have been grafted into you and you love us and welcome us as your own. Help us to be ready to accept the wonder and mystery of faith without seeking always to understand first. All of this we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in our worship today. Would you join with me, please? Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God equip you with everything good for doing his will, working in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Pray you'd know God's blessing with you this week. Stay safe and know you're welcomed by God. Thank you.